Loose. I might pray for you as well. Father, we thank you for Ian. Thank you for the blessing that he told me he's had from preparing this. And so I just ask now, Holy Spirit, that you come and rest on him and that you would fill his heart and his mind with the things that you want to communicate to us. Pray for our hearts and our minds to be open and obedient to what you say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Off you go.
Amen. Can you all hear me okay?
Yes.
Hear me at the back? Fantastic. Hey, I'm using modern technology, a clip-on. Wow. So we're looking today at a passage from Philippians chapter 1. And I want to focus on verse 6. Joe, if you could put verse 6 on the screen. Yep. I will be referring to other Bible verses and translations and paraphrases. Don't try and catch up with me. Just keep that one verse on the screen there. So I just want to read the passage again. And we're looking at, we've been doing a series on being in Christ. And I'll be covering a concept of being unfinished in Christ. Because we often talk about the finished work of Christ. Jesus dying on the cross, taking all our sins upon himself. All our uncleanness comes upon Jesus. And through that, we are granted salvation and forgiveness. And when Jesus died on the cross, when he gave up his last breath, he says, "It is finished." So here's a mystery. I'm going to be speaking about us being in Christ, but unfinished. Now, very interestingly, when I first saw the title, because my eyesight's not as good as it used to be, I read it as being unvarnished. And actually, that could be my first illustration. Because when I was at school, we used to make clay pots and plates and bowls, and we used to put it in the furnace, and then when the clay had cooled off, we would then varnish it, paint it and varnish it. So I could refer to this as being unvarnished in Christ. So I want to read the passage again, Philippians chapter 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father. I love that. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this. Now listen closely. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let me read that again. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let me tell you a story. I love to tell stories. You know, somebody said once, in life we have to make choices. Sometimes we make good choices. Sometimes we make bad choices, but in life we always have to make choices. Let me tell you about a very, very important choice I had to make. So I met a young lady called Maxine. Maxine was the love of my life. I used to think about her all day and all night. I saw something special in Maxine, and I planned to spend the rest of my life with her. I wanted to get married, maybe settle down and have a family, but I loved Maxine so much. I had to make choices, but I wasn't sure whether she felt the same way towards me. So I did what every 9-year-old child would do. I got a daisy at the back of the playing fields at the school, and I took the daisy in my hand and I pulled out the petals. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves him not. ran out of petals. Thought, I'll try that one again. Because I love Maxine. I was looking for a sign. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. Wow, she loves me. But then I tried it again. It didn't work every time. And I wasn't sure whether Maxine really loved me that much to get married to me and settle down with me for the rest of my life. So I thought, I'll test this one out. I wrote a lovely Valentine's card to her. And I gave it to her. And do you know what she did? She scrumpled it up and threw it on the ground. And I thought, she doesn't love me. Why do I tell that story? Do you have an insecure relationship with God? Are you not convinced that he has saved you? Are you not convinced that he cares for you? Do you fluctuate between he loves me, oh, he loves me not, oh, he loves me not? Is that you? If you are insecure in your relationship with God, I've got good news for you. So I want you to keep listening. Or another illustration. Anybody that's used to traveling distances and stuff on planes, they have this system where people can get a really cheap ticket by being on what's called standby. Now, somebody on standby, they can go through security and stuff like that, but they don't know that they have a seat on the plane unless somebody doesn't turn up. So anybody on standby can have a really cheap ticket. It can just be 10% of the total cost of the flight. But they don't know if they're going to actually get a seat on the flight. It only happens when there's a passenger cancels, doesn't turn up, and then they're permitted to actually go on the plane. Very insecure. You can always tell people that are on standby. They're constantly going to the gate entrance thing and asking questions. What's the status? What's happening? They're insecure. Is your relationship with God like that? Do you feel that you're somehow on standby, that you have no confidence in your life in Christ Jesus? If you feel that you're on standby, that you haven't got a seat on that flight, I've got good news for you. God wants to turn your thinking around. We can have confidence in him. I am unfinished in Christ. I am not a perfect product, but I should have security knowing that God has saved me and he will continue to save me until I'm finally glorified and I have immortal life in the kingdom of God. I want you to be encouraged by what Paul says. Philippians 1 verse 6, he says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You might feel you're no good. You might feel that you're wrestling and struggling. I've got good news for you. Let me read this verse in a few different paraphrases. In the Clear Word paraphrase, the same verse, Paul says, there's no doubt in my mind that God who began a good work in you will continue to do so until Christ comes back to take you home. God will continue to do that good work in you. In the Voice paraphrase, Paul says, I am confident that the Creator who has begun such a great work among you will not stop in mid-design, but will keep perfecting you until the day Jesus the Anointed, our liberating King, returns to redeem the world. And in the Message, Philippians 1 verse 6, it says, there has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you will keep at it. Whoa, God will keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the day Christ Jesus appears. A flourishing finish. That's almost like right at the end, this is massive work, the completed touch happens. Poof, a flourishing finish. We can have confidence in God. We're not to have confidence in ourselves. We're to have confidence in our great Creator. And you know, our Creator is in the construction business. Each one of you is under construction. Although we're children of God, we're still immature. We haven't been brought to perfection. We are not perfect, but we are being perfected. We are not sinless, but we are sinning less. You know, there's a lot of construction businesses that are dodgy. And sometimes they start a job and then they don't finish it. Do you remember what we read in one of the translations? It's talking about God, and it says that God who started this great work in you would keep at it. And another version says, he who has begun such a great work among you will not stop in mid-design. God knows where he's taking each one of us, and he's not going to stop halfway. God is in the construction business, but he doesn't run out of money. He doesn't run out of energy and planning. He doesn't run out of resources to get the job done. God is in the construction business. I am unfinished, but God will finish me. He will bring me to perfection. That is his problem. So of all the construction firms in the world, I want to introduce you to the best one in the universe. It's called Jehovah and Son. Jehovah and Son, builders and developers. And it has a strap line, no job too hard for us. Jehovah and Son. I want to recommend to you the greatest construction business in the universe. In Psalm 119, verse 73, we're told about God, your hands made me and formed me. Wow, he's in the construction business. His hands made me and formed me. Isaiah 64, verse 8. The Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the works of your hands. When you're going through your everyday life and you're not conscious of God, he's conscious of you. He is the potter. We are the clay. We might be unvarnished, but he is the potter. We are the clay. We are the works of your hands. And if you want something to blow your head off, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are God's workmanship, Paul says. We are God's workmanship. And the Greek word there for workmanship is poema, where we get the word poem from. Now, I remember at school we learned about stanzas. Apparently, it's a posh word. It's talking about a verse of poetry. We are stanzas. We are poetry written by God's own hand. Isn't that beautiful? We are his workmanship, but we're his poems. And each one of us is a different poem written by God's hand. And the Jerusalem Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are God's work of art. So we're learning He works pottery. He's a potter. He writes poetry in our lives. And also we learn there that he is an artist. We are all a work of art. But here's the interesting thing. We are poems that have been unfinished. God is still continuing to write the stanzas in our life. And he is the master artist. He hasn't finished painting us. We are unfinished in Christ, but he promises to take us to that final destination. If you imagine Jesus standing by me, Jesus would be very tall, very pure, very perfect, the most loving man, the most humble man, the most powerful man you could ever imagine. And next to Jesus is me. I'm getting there. But I'm not perfect, but I am being perfected. And in Romans chapter 8, Paul says that God wants to make us into the image of Christ. That's where he is taking us. That is the end goal. But we are, at the moment, still unfinished in Christ. And remember that construction firm, Jehovah and Son. Now, Jehovah is just the English version of the Hebrew name for God, Yahweh. And the Hebrew language is so powerful. And by studying the name of our Creator, the one who is the managing director and chief worker of this construction firm, we actually should have confidence that God is at work in our lives and will take us to that final destination. Yahweh, some Bibles say Jehovah, some say Yahweh. That name is mentioned over 6,000 times in the original Hebrew manuscripts, but it's been substituted with capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Over 6,000 times in the Old Testament. So when we find Mr. capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, this is the managing director of Jehovah and Son, the greatest construction business in the world. And listen to the meaning of the name. Some people translate Yahweh or Jehovah as I am or I shall prove to be. I read this in a Bible commentary, and I want you to think about, we are unfinished, but God is completing us, that he's changing us, and he's going to bring us to the final place and the final product he wants us to be. We are children of God under construction. The name Yahweh, Jehovah, is a form of the Hebrew verb hawa, meaning to become, and actually signifies he causes to become. Thus, God's name identifies him as the one who progressively fulfills his promises and he's unfailing in bringing his purposes about. Only the true God could bear such a meaningful name. So even in the name of the managing director of this wonderful construction firm, Jehovah and Son, even his name says he is a God that will bring progression and perfection to each one of us. Now, I want to read that again, but I'm going to make it personal, and I'm going to talk about you. So the name Yahweh, Jehovah, is a form of a Hebrew word, hava, meaning to become, and actually signifies he causes to become. Thus, God's name identifies him as the one who progressively fulfills his promises to you and unfailingly realizes his purposes for you. What a God. What a construction firm. And of course, Jesus said in John 14, verse 9, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So if you want to know how wonderful Jehovah is, look at Jesus. If you want to know how wonderful Jesus is, look at Jehovah. They're intertwined. Incredible. And God is in the business of finishing the unfinished work, which is you and me. We can trust Jesus. We can trust his Father. Do you remember I mentioned Maxine and how I felt, deflated, really. She loves me, she loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not. We can have total trust in God. And I want to illustrate this. I learned to swim at the age of 4 in the middle of the Atlantic with no land in sight. Sounds like a miracle? We were on a boat and it had a swimming pool. And my father taught me how to swim, and I actually remember it. He held my belly, I had a smaller belly in those days, on his hand, and he told me to do that and to kick my legs. He showed me the actions, and then he gradually lowered me into the water, and I would begin to swim. But he still had his supporting hand there. But as I became more proficient, sneaky dad that I had, he took his hand away, and I was swimming. But I had absolute trust and confidence that my dad loved me. And I trusted him implicitly that I wasn't going to drown. We need to trust God. We need to trust Jehovah and Son, the greatest construction industry and business in the universe. He's going to get us there. He's going to get you there. So how does God bring perfection to us? How is he going to finish this unfinished business? Well, the first way God works is through encouragement. We all want to be encouraged, don't we? Tim's got a lovely smile on his face there. And I just want to say to you personally, Tim, you've encouraged me over the years. I know when I've sat in your office in tears and I've struggled with stuff, and you've just listened and come out with counsel that's changed my life. So I want to thank you personally for encouraging me. But you know, God is our encourager. We read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you feel forsaken, If you feel forgotten about, God brings that word of encouragement to you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jeremiah 31 verse 3, God says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. With loving kindness have I drawn you. Wow. How do you feel when you hear those words? God loves you. He draws you. The Clear Word paraphrase says, I love you people with a love that lasts forever. I will be faithful to you and will continue to love you and draw you close to me. Then it goes on to say, I, the Lord, will rebuild you. See, construction business. God wants to draw us close to himself, and he promises to do that. Never feel forsaken, never feel rejected. God wants to encourage you. The other way God perfects us, and this could be quite scandalous. Number two, God perfects us through sending disaster. Ooh, but I thought he was a God of love. He is a God of love. But God sometimes uses bad stuff and bad circumstances to perfect our characters, to help us learn lessons of trust and to become stronger, where we learn that we've done things wrong through different circumstances and we seek to do what is right. So God can use disaster to purify us and perfect us. Isaiah 45 verses 6 through 7, God says, I am the Lord, there is none else. I form light and create darkness. I bring prosperity and disaster. He brings prosperity and disaster. The New Living Translation says, I send good times and bad times. You know, even a loving parent will allow their child to undergo a painful operation if at the end of that operation it has lasting good and good stuff happens as a result. But that parent has to allow the child go through painful operations. You know, sometimes in life, God will bring disaster upon your life. Bad stuff will happen, but God's still in it because he's going to bring good out of it. I don't understand it. If I was God, I would run the universe completely different. But God is God, and sometimes we overthink things. But God does bring encouragement. He does bring hard times. Another way God perfects us is through Scripture. So as we're reading Scripture, we find stuff in our lives that needs changing. So we all know the verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 16. All Scripture is inspired of God. And it's beneficial for teaching, for rebuking, for disciplining righteousness, that the servant of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So God can bring change to our lives as we read Scripture and respond to it. Another way God brings that perfection, how he finishes the unfinished product, is through you and me, the body of Christ, the church. It says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I am unfinished, you are unfinished, but God in his wisdom, in his mercy, in his compassion, uses each one of us to help add to what's already in our lives. Sometimes he sends a rebuke. Sometimes he just sends a helper to come alongside and to lift up. But somehow God uses each one of us as the family of God to bring his perfection to pass in our lives. So, finally, got about 4 minutes. Making it practical. Okay, so listen. Making it practical. So we are unfinished, but God is in the construction business. He's working on us, step by step, day by day. So here's some advice. Go easy on yourself. You're in a process. You're on a journey to perfection. Go easy on yourself. Don't count the failures in your life. Count the victories. If you stumble and fall, if you make a mistake, guess what? I do it all the time. It's like climbing a set of stairs. If you slip on the bottom two steps, you don't give up and think, oh, I didn't manage that. No, you just pick yourself up and keep moving upwards. So if you stumble, if you fall, if you struggle, don't give up. Go easy on yourself and count the victories, not the failures. Rejoice in the things that you are learning to overcome. Rejoice in the things that are changing in your life. Second bit of advice. So we've learned, go easy on yourself. The second bit of advice is go hard on yourself. Go hard on yourself. Seek to change. Seek to climb higher. What habits are in your life at the moment that need to die? Don't put your hands up and tell me. What habits in your life at the moment need to die? And what talents in your life need to be improved and developed? Because God gives gifts. He gives talents, but not so we can boast, but so we can build up one another. Don't always say to yourself, oh, you know, God's made me this way. You know, maybe God hasn't made you that way. Maybe there is a struggle. Maybe there is a challenge. God wants to move you to higher ground. Spend time with him. Read the word and ask God to show you what you need to do. Another bit of advice I'm learning. Stop trying to change others. Okay? You know, I've been coming to this church for so many years, and I just don't understand why people don't always think the way that I do. Well, they probably have been going to church the same amount of time I've been coming, and they go away thinking, I can't believe that, Ian. Why doesn't he think the way that I do? It's so obvious. No, don't try and change people. It's a bit like prodding a stick with a tortoise. What's going to happen to the tortoise? It's going to retreat into its shell. No. Pray for people. Pray for one another. Ask God to change people's lives. In John chapter 18, verse 37, Jesus said, everyone on the side of truth hears my voice. So instead of poking and prodding and trying to make people change, ask Jesus to speak to a person's heart. Jesus said, anyone on the side of truth hears my voice. Don't try and be Jesus, but entrust people to Jesus because he will do a better job than you. And the last bit of advice, trust Jehovah and Son, the best construction firm in the world. Trust Jehovah and Son, the best construction firm in the world, because they are at work in your life, and it's powerful. And you might not always see it, but God, who began a work with you, will bring it to perfect completion in Christ Jesus. So hold on to that hope. And I say these things in the name of Jehovah and Son, the best construction business in the universe. Amen. Now, I believe we're going to have a piece of music softly playing in the background, is that right? And then, Graham, after we've had our hearts softened, would you like to close in prayer? Thank you.